Hello, everyone, and welcome to Dallas Hoops Fancast, a podcast for Mavs fans. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm here with my co-host, Martin.
Hey, guys.
Before we get started, remember you can listen to new episodes at DallasHoopsCast.com. You can follow me on Twitter at _SydneyMyers, and you can follow Martin on Twitter at MartinLMyers. The newest article, I talked about this last week, we're starting a series where we're counting down the 40 greatest moments in Dallas Mavericks history, because this season is their 40th season in the league. I thought I should actually probably celebrate the 41st season, but, you know, we'll get to that next year. So part one is up on DallasHoopsCast.com. You can look at numbers, what would that be, 40 through 31, I think. And then part two is coming this Friday. And there's some pretty awesome moments in part two. And I've had some people say, like, I can't believe this one is so low on the list. And it's like, I know, just imagine what is higher. I mean, there's been some pretty amazing moments. So anyway, you can look at that article and also listen to the latest episodes. If you're a new listener, thanks for listening. We could use all the friends we can get. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts,
speak for yourself. I have a lot of Twitter friends.
You actually passed 100 followers.
Yes.
And today, I'm growing. Today I got 500 followers.
Just had to throw that out there. just had to do it.
Anyways, so the show's awesome. Thank you for listening. Okay. We have a lot of cool things to talk about. We're going to start with the Bulls game, some things that we noticed. We're going to go on to a new segment. We're going to talk about the Mavs clutch time problems, the All-Star game. Really good show. Starting off with the Bulls game. So the Mavs won that 118 to 110. We were all wondering what they were going to do in the clutch since they've struggled so much. They just didn't have a clutch time, really.
Maybe that's the way to do it.
That's the way to do it. And overall, I mean, it was a really good game. Luka finished with another 30-point triple-double, 38 points, 11 rebounds, 10 assists. It's like, you know, I think it was, Basketball Reference, their Twitter account posted that he is one of, I think, 10 players to have multiple 30-point triple-doubles in NBA history.
Oh, no. And there's another one.
He's
in the top 10.
Yeah, I think that was
he's in the top 10 with the most 30-point triple-doubles.
You know what? That's what it was.
And
yeah,
he's
that's
in
what
his 104 games in his career.
Yeah, he's by far the youngest in that list. Yeah, it's like he's doing things that guys, it took their entire career to do.
They've never done this before.
Yeah. So I don't know. I mean, I don't even know what to say about that anymore because it just happens so regularly now. One thing that I did want to talk about from that game with Luka, I noticed that it seems like in the past few games, he's kind of been pacing himself a little better. And the rotations have also been different. And so I think that's probably part of it. But just the way that he plays, and you brought out the scheme too, it seems like he's more willing to defer a little bit. He plays off the ball more, and then at the end of the game, that's when he brings it full force and just takes over.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if he's more willing. I mean,
well,
because there's sometimes it's mainly when JJ's out there, and they actually did it a little bit in Chicago's game with DeLon, and mainly they are allowing another guy bring the ball up the court. Because I believe the amount of physicality or how physical guys are being with him and the amount of energy it takes to just have to fight to get all the way across half court.
And then make a play.
And then make a play.
Which is also difficult.
Yes, and do that the entire game.
Yeah.
And so allowing somebody else to share that load a little bit, bring the ball down, make the play where he can kind of play off that helps preserve his energy. And then, there's stretches in the game. Like we saw in the third quarter where he just took over.
But I see more of like you said, he plays off the ball. There was one shot where he came off a screen, curled around it, caught the ball. It was a catch and shoot three. And we were like, whoa.
I don't know if he's...
that never happened.
I've never seen him come off a screen like that and pull up that quickly. I didn't know he had that quick of a release because he caught it and shot it. It was...
And it switched.
Yeah, exactly. Too, yeah. So... Yeah, I think it's an effort to help preserve his body and his so he's not fatigued one at the end of the game. So he, because you need him in the clutch time, and that's what we're going to talk about their struggles with. But they're also going to need him late in the season. And if he takes his beating the entire season, what kind of Luka are we going to get at the end of the year?
Yeah. And I just thought it, like, you see other great players do this. Mm-hmm. You know, Dirk did it, but really every great player does this. They kind of play the game, just kind of controlling it because that's what they do. They're great players. But really at the end is when they put the pedal to the metal and just run away with it and take over.
And you see a lot of great players. LeBron was really good at this. Kobe was good at it from time to time. Kobe was always the guy that wanted to shoot.
Yeah.
But they would go the first stretch of however many minutes in the game and wouldn't even shoot. Would just pass the ball to get everybody else going. And I think Luka could probably do a little bit better job with that. The problem is he's so good at scoring, and their offense is flowing so well when he has the ball in his hands. It's hard to take that away. But if he takes more of an effort or makes more of an effort to get everybody else involved, he's going to get his shots and he's going to get his possessions.
I mean, at least he's willing. The good thing is he's willing coachable. To do that. Yeah, he's willing to play off the ball. He's not like Kevin James Love. Harden. Or I was going to say Kevin Love throwing his hands in the air. And did you? Yeah, you
well, saw I saw it.
You grabbing know. The ball from Colin Sexton and just throwing it across.
I think it was more of a anger towards Colin Sexton. But I think James Harden is a good example. When Westbrook or Chris Paul has the ball, he literally just goes to a spot and stands there and waits for their play to be over so he can go back on the next possession and it'll be his turn again.
Yeah, so I noticed that in the game. And I thought, like, that's a really good idea. That makes sense. And so I think a lot of it is, like you said, the scheme, the way that they run their offense, also the way that they do his minutes. Now in the Chicago game, he kind of went back to his normal minutes routine, but lately they've been more flexible with
it. Yeah, and Carlisle talked about that. He said in the first quarter, he tried to take him out. Mm-hmm. And there was at the 3-minute stretch, he had somebody, I think it was Jalen, but they never blew the whistle. And so he ended up playing the entire first quarter, even though that wasn't his plan.
Yeah. So anyway, I think it's a good idea. I don't know. They're probably maybe just working with it to see how far can they push it without, you know, there was a point, I think it was in the Charlotte game, where they kind of did the same thing. Luka wasn't, he was involved, but he wasn't the focus of the offense. His minutes were kind of different. And they couldn't score. And there was points in that game where there was a pretty big gap in scoring. And so it's like it takes some discipline to not run him into the ground. But then there's the balance of like, okay, we do need his offense.
Yeah, and it's tough, especially when you were out both Hardaway and Porzingis.
Yeah.
And you can see the difference with Luka, the amount of attention he gets when Porzingis is not out there. But, you know, again, he still scored 38 points, shot really well in the last game. But I think a lot of that probably was Tim Hardaway being back helped out a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I think he also just kind of got in a groove there in the third quarter. But you can see they need some of these, they need Porzingis back, and they need Hardaway to get back into full form.
Yeah, without Porzingis, their defense down low, it's been defense like a layup line.
Yeah.
It's been a layup line the whole game.
I think it was 70 or 72 points for the Chicago Bulls in the paint. Now, he's not going to stop every one of those, but, you know, let's say he 10 less, the game's not close.
Yeah, it's he has blowout. A presence. Now, I mean, that's why their three-pointers help so much, because they can combat that. But, yeah, without Porzingis, it's just... Yeah, they just get layup after layup. It's been tough. And then, yeah, like you said, having Tim Hardaway Jr. back, that helped a lot. And he looked fine. Mm-hmm. Like, I was wondering, is he 100%? Are they going to have him on a minute? But he looked
He was on a minute restriction, fine. But he played
Yeah, he played 22 well. Minutes. So yeah. But he scored 15 points, 3 of 4 from the three-point line, 5 of 8 overall. And so he played well.
It was so refreshing to have him back.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't think anybody would have said that to start the season, but it was nice to have Hardaway back out there. His ability to just rise up and make a shot when he has an inch of room, he can just rise up above the person.
You talked about the physical defense, which we've talked about before, and everybody is talking about. Carlisle came out and said, like, this is ridiculous. They're beating the crap out of him. And it is it's noticeable. Like we, I joked on Twitter, Mark Folawell got savage with it. He was like, well, because Luka drove it and got a foul call. And he was like, well, look at that. He drove it and got a foul call. Like it's to that point where it's just, it's a joke right now.
Well, I think we can agree that teams are playing the Mavs more physically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Honestly,
I don't fault them for that because you got to try to get a stop and you trust that the ref will call a foul if you do foul. But if they don't, you're not going to stop. I mean, that just helps you even more.
And so if you saw that a team or teams were playing you more physically, wouldn't you expect your free throw attempts to go up?
Yes.
But they haven't. In fact, they have drastically gone down.
Show us the numbers, Martin.
Well, in October, the Mavs, there's only four games in October, but it's still, it's four games. They average 31 free throw attempts a game. In November, 14 total games, it was down to 25.1.
Oh, wow.
In December, 15 games, it was down to 22.1. And in January, only three games, small sample size, but it's down to 16 free throw attempts a game.
Yeah.
Especially when you have a guy who drives to the basket, I think the eighth most in the league. And he can't, 36 drives to the basket without a single whistle call. Like, what is going on with that?
I mean, at some point, it's like, I don't know what the word is, but it, like, at some point, it's a problem. At some point, it's like, okay, teams foul. You know, it's like, are you saying, you're saying that the Charlotte Hornets managed to stop Luka every time without fouling him. Like, well, that's ridiculous.
And I think it was Bobby Kerala that brought out every drive that the Mavericks had against the Hornets. Every single drive. I think it was, you know, 30. I don't know the numbers right at the top of my head.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say it was 30. They didn't get a single foul call on any of their drives against the Hornets. Against a team that's 13-300 because they suck. And you're telling me they were so smart on defense
that
they didn't foul one single time?
So, like, here are the free throw attempts for Luka. In October, he had 32. That's in four games.
That's eight
a
game.
In November, he had 144 in 14 games.
About 10 a game.
That's 10, yeah. In December, he had 92 in 11 games.
So about eight a game.
Yeah, so it dropped. And then so far in January, he's at 24 in three games.
No, it's eight a game.
Yeah. So, I mean, but still, it's been a drop since November. Well, but then overall, like you said, the team numbers.
The team overall. And the problem is, and my biggest, and we've talked about this before, is perception. When a player has a certain reputation for being a certain way, then the calls just kind of go that way.
Yeah.
If a player has a reputation for being a physical defender and an excellent defender, they can get away with whatever anything they want. Yeah. And it's like, oh man, look at this lockdown defensively. And we saw this, a great example against last night, New Orleans against Utah. Rudy Gobert blocks Brandon Ingram, but when you watch the replay, it was clearly a foul. He hit him on his wrist and a lot of body. But because it was Rudy Gobert down there, they automatically assumed he's so good he's not going to foul. It happens all the time. And I think right now the Mavs have this reputation from somewhere, I don't know, all of a sudden they're soft. And probably because Porzingis isn't Karl Malone down there banging around and everybody wants to talk about he doesn't post up. For some reason, that automatically makes you a soft team. And because they have this reputation or perception of being soft, teams are playing them very physically, and the Mavericks are struggling. And so, like, hey, just play them physically.
Yeah.
And they can't do as well. Well, maybe it's because you're fouling them and you're not calling it.
I did notice, though, that Luka pacing himself, both just the way that he plays, but also his minutes and their offensive scheme, it seems like that helps him in the end of the game to where that physicality, it's still there, but he's got the energy to still score and take over when he needs to.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with him is his mindset.
He does let it get to him.
Yeah, and you have to get to a point where he's going to have to accept now, this is the rest of his career, it's going to be like this.
Probably.
They're just going to get really physical with him for the rest of his career. He's going to have to accept that and not complain so much about whistles. It's okay to complain, but sometimes he just takes it too far.
Yeah, well, and It can affect your game. If you let it get to your head too much, it can affect your game. And so I think like that's part of
the learning. And I think it would be fair to say that it has at certain points of the season.
It looks like it has. Yeah. I mean, I'm not inside his head, but it looks like there's stretches where he's so frustrated that he's not focused. He doesn't get back defensively. When he does, he's just not really paying attention. Or offensively, he's just so frustrated that it just doesn't go well. So, yeah, I mean, that's part of it. He's just going to have to learn to deal with it. But it's frustrating to see it happening. I mean, do they lose games because of it?
They have.
They have because of non-calls. But there's a lot of ways that they can improve outside of that. But it's definitely a problem.
They're going to have to play through this stuff.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to prove that they can beat you even if you play them very physically, even if they're not getting calls.
Yeah.
They got to just beat them. And that'll kind of alleviate some of this problem where teams just believe that if you get up into their skin, you get up underneath them, you play them tough, you can get under their skin and they're not as good.
Well, you can stop them because they're being allowed to foul right now.
Well, so yes. Like, and that's like you have
that's a great game plan.
Yeah, exactly. And so you just have to play through it and hope that you know, the officiating will turn around. But I don't know. I don't know how you explain their free throw attempts going down when Luka has just gotten better.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It to me is unacceptable, especially when we watch some of these highlights. And Luka's clearly getting mauled on these drives, and they're just swallowing the whistle.
So, I don't know what's up with that, but it's definitely frustrating to watch. Thankfully, they got the win. They're on this homestand where they do have some very winnable games. Kristaps is still out for the Nuggets game, which is disappointing, but I guess we'll just see.
Yeah,
Carlisle said he's day-to-day.
Yeah, I think they'll probably bring him back on this back-to-back L.A.-Philadelphia. I want to say Philadelphia for some reason. But
you got a feeling.
Yeah, I want to say it's Philadelphia.
Okay, one thing I wanted to talk about was today I read that Trae Young and Luka have been invited to the three-point contest at the All-Star Weekend, Trae Young has said yes. They said Luka is still making up his mind. I haven't heard anything yet. My question is, do you want Luka to participate? And here's another wrinkle. Should Luka participate?
I don't think with all due respect to Luka, I don't think he deserves to be in the three-point competition.
He's not a
sniper. He's a shot maker.
He's
a shot maker.
He's just a big-time player.
Yeah. Now, in practice, can he hit 27 out of 33s? Probably, but he ain't shooting those shots in practice. Yeah. Every shot he shoots is like a step back.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he can go out there and do a step back on every shot, then fine. But
he wouldn't have time for that.
No,
although that would be funny if he went out there and then started doing step backs.
I don't think he deserves to be in the 3-point contest. I think it was more of,
I feel like that's a little sacrilegious of you to say that, but whatever.
I think the NBA is really trying to increase their ratings.
Well, and also, Luka versus Trae.
Yes.
Like, that's what everyone wants to see.
Well, and everybody wants to see Luka regardless right now.
But particularly that.
Yeah, the Luka versus Trae. And you know what? I would say no, because if Trae Young beats Luka, oh my God, Trae Young fans would not shut up for the rest of their career.
Well, I think, you know, I'm kind of willing to admit that Trae Young's probably a better three-point shooter than Luka. You know, percentages haven't always shown that, but I would be willing to say that. But the thing is, you know, it's like a lose-lose situation. If Trae Young wins, then Hawks fans are going to be just out of their minds like they won the championship. If Luka wins, it's like, man, you feel bad for Trae Young. So I almost wonder, like, if he did participate, would he just chalk it, you know, and not really try?
I don't know. Part of me, in my mind, when I envision this situation, I envision him coming out in his warm-ups
like Larry Bird
and just going, and then just shutting everybody up about his three-point and winning it and then just moving on.
I mean,
on.
That would be pretty cool.
But that's not going to happen.
No.
So I don't want him to do it, but if he does, fine. You know, I just, the last guy we had contend was Wes Matthews.
And he did not belong there.
He did not belong there. And he shot 36 or something percent from the three-point range.
Yeah, I don't remember. But, I mean, and he did terribly.
Oh, it was embarrassing.
It was embarrassing.
And him, for, you know, no.
But they invited him.
Yes.
You know.
They had to have invited 50 other people before they got to.
Well, I think it was, there was some other people, like the usuals, that they wanted to participate.
And they all backed
I think
out.
A lot, yeah, some of them said no. But yeah, I don't know. I want him to, because yeah, I want to see Luka in a 3-point contest, and I want to see Luka versus Trey. And honestly, like, I don't care who, I mean, of course I want Luka to win, but even if he lost, I wouldn't mind. I'm kind of past the whole like Luka versus Trey thing. It's like,
there's no argument.
Yeah. And also, it's just not a big deal to me anymore. You know, it's like, whatever, they're both good players. I don't care. Obviously, I think Luka is better, but like, it wouldn't bother me if Trey won, because it's like, whatever. It would be fun to watch.
It would bother me just because.
It depends on how he. Like, if he's going out and starts showboating or whatever because he beat Luka, I mean, that would upset me. But.
Yeah.
I don't know. They say that they're good friends and they don't really buy into the whole, you know, like, we're just.
I think Luka doesn't care. Like, yeah, he'll be his friend and
probably,
everything. But
yeah.
I think deep down, Trae Young wants to kill Luka on the court.
Yeah.
But I think deep down, I don't think he can stand him. How could you? There's no way you can be like, yeah, go Luka.
He's so good.
He's on ESPN all the time.
Yeah.
Breaking all these records.
Well, he's good and the Mavs are winning.
Yeah, so and Trae Young, I think, can act like, oh yeah, me and him are close, but I think deep down he can't stand the dude.
Well, we don't know that.
It's my personal opinion.
Those are your personal opinions. But yeah, I would like to see Luka in it. But also, if he decides to say no, I would be fine with that too, because he's going to be in the All-Star game. I mean, it's not set. Like, but he's leading votes. Like, no matter what the coaches and players
say. He's going to be starting.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's that.
Yeah. So, I want him to be there, but I would be okay if he said no. Okay, I want to move on now to a new segment.
Okay.
Okay, we did a new segment last time, no point intended, which was pretty fun. Our second new segment is called Blurred Lines.
Okay.
Get it? Like the song?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
I spent a lot of time coming up with that. I have to think of clever
names
for this. Okay. And here's what it is. I'm going to read a stat line, and you have to guess which player put up this stat line.
And this is on the Mavs only.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Games from like the past week.
Okay. I got you.
So you get the connection between I'm reading the stat lines, and the segment is called Blurred Lines.
I get it. Because
it's
wow.
Lines. But it's blurred because you don't know who it is.
Brilliant.
Yeah. I am really proud of that one. I'm more proud of that than just...
Okay, let's do the segment.
In general. Okay. First stat line. 15 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, and 1 block.
I'm going to say that's Dorian Finney-Smith.
That was.
Yeah. Move on. Next.
That was against the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah.
Really great game. I mean, I've said this before. Dorian Finney-Smith is my new favorite player.
Yes, we love Dorian. I want to get to the next one. I'm all hyped.
Sorry.
Yes, let's do this.
Next one. 24 points, 4 rebounds, 1 block.
And that's... I want to say that's Seth.
No.
Ooh. Then Maxey.
Yes.
Okay.
It was Maxey.
Oh, that was Maxey against Charlotte.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
What made you think it was Seth?
Because a 20-point guy in the last week, and I forgot Maxey had a career high.
1 block.
Well, you know, Seth could have walked into a block by accident.
You don't really walk into blocks.
All right, move on.
That's a slight to every guy that gets blocks. Getting blocks is hard, okay?
Sometimes it just Anyways, move on. All right.
Next one. 14 points, 14 rebounds.
That is Maxey.
Yes.
Yeah.
How are you getting all of these? Yes.
Yep.
You need a life.
Yes.
You need to get
too much
a life.
Basketball.
Okay. Yeah. It's funny. He went from 14 points and 14 rebounds to 24 points and 4 rebounds. The Thunder game, that was the one where he was a rebounding machine. Mm-hmm. And then in the last minute, Carlisle took him out and put in Powell. Dwight
Powell. And then what happened?
And we were like, wait, what?
And the Thunder got an offensive rebound.
And the Mavs lost. So yep. I'm not going to harp on that. I just wanted to say it just because I can. Because yep. I have a microphone in front of me. Okay, next stat line. 19 points, 4 rebounds, 7 assists.
That's Lukey.
Okay, you need to go outside more yep. often.
I'm going to go to the bathroom and cry.
What was the game?
That was against, I think, the Lakers.
It was.
Yeah, I think that was against the Lakers.
I'm actually a little concerned right now.
We need to come up with a new segment.
No, I'm concerned about your mental health, that you know not only who these are, but also the games.
I watch a lot of highlights.
We watch the same games.
Well, yes, I don't watch I watch highlights, yeah, and I watch true. All the video link, anything that
all of the
is
breakdowns.
Yes, everything. I watch them all.
Okay. Last one, because I thought this was going to be more difficult. All right. 14 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 3 steals.
The steals, I want to say it's DeLon, but the lack of rebounding, I want to say it's Dwight. I'm going to go with Powell.
You should have trusted your gut.
Oh, it's DeLon. Okay, yeah. I don't remember what game. I guess the Thunder game?
No, the Lakers.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
I heard the 3 steals, but then the lack of rebounding, I was like, that's definitely
Yeah, but also Dwight. The 3 assists. And Dwight doesn't really get a lot of steals.
I didn't even pay attention to the assists. Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, DeLon, like, speaking of DeLon, he really, it's like he can go out there and just fill up the stat sheet and you don't even realize it until the end. And you're like, oh, he did 5 of everything.
So just on a side note, what do you think of the comments that he had recently about starting? And
you know, what?
Go ahead. Yeah.
So it's hard to perceive tone whenever it's written down. And so I think that should be taken into consideration. So just taking it at face value, what he said, I was surprised. I thought, so I guess we should say what he actually said before we talk about it.
I think everybody kind of knows.
Yeah, but just in case.
It's been covered.
He was asked like, hey, you like coming off the bench. Why is that? And he was like, I never said I like coming off the bench. That's just what coach decided. He said it was one game I was starting and then the next game I was off the bench. So whatever it is, what it is. But yeah, I was surprised. Because I think it was Carlisle that said he prefers coming off the bench. And I just was like, oh, okay, cool. But apparently that's not true. It surprised me.
I think he has a legitimate case because...
For that he should start?
Yeah. Well, at least given more of an opportunity to start. Because to his point, he literally got one game. And during that part of the season, the first 10, 12 games of the season... The Mavericks were going through starting lineups like crazy.
With everything, yeah.
And everybody got multiple opportunities to start, and he got one, and he never got another opportunity.
Yeah.
It's like the first game of the season, they started him. I think they won the game against Washington.
Yeah.
And then the second game of the season, he came off the bench, they won, and then he's the bench guy.
He started 2 games. One of those must have been... Yeah. Somewhere.
And I think, obviously, Tim Hardaway Jr. needs to start. I'm not trying to make the case that DeLon should start. But I am going to say that when Hardaway was out, DeLon should have been starting.
Instead of Barea.
Now, I love Barea, and if you've listened to the podcast before...
You're a Barea stan.
I'm a... Whatever that means, we'll have to talk about it. But, yes, I'm all for Barea. I am not for Barea with Luka. But I get why they do it, because to help with the playmaking. But personally, I feel like that could be DeLon. We saw it late in the game against Chicago. It was DeLon.
Yeah, true.
But I just feel like it was kind of a...
It wasn't fair to
him. It wasn't fair, for him to be given an opportunity to start. And I think JJ can play with Seth. I understand why Carlisle does it, because Seth and DeLon and Brunson have a good chemistry. Mm-hmm. And specifically DeLon and Seth, they've been playing well together. But I just thought, since you had injuries, he should be given the opportunity to start.
So I think I understand starting Hardaway over DeLon because of Hardaway's offense. And it's fine that, like, DeLon doesn't score 15 points a game. I don't know. Maybe he could if he started. But it's not a slight on him. I'm just saying, you know, Hardaway's offense. He just brings more. Mm-hmm. And I think you need that next to Luka. That's why they were starting Barea, because you need that playmaking just, you know, for offense. He can't be the only one that scores, and also to take the pressure off. I get all of that. The only other option would be if you started DeLon, and then maybe Hardaway was the three, DeLon was the two, in which case Finney-Smith
would have been the four.
The four, or come off the bench, but I don't know if that works. So he would have been the four, and we have to start.
Well, during the injury with Porzingis being out, they've been playing a lot of small ball.
Yeah.
And Justin Jackson was playing, and J.J. Barea was playing.
I think Justin Jackson started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But instead, I think it should be Luka, DeLon, Tim, Dorian and Capowell.
Yeah.
Not J.J. And I think J.J. should come off the bench with Seth. But, you know, we're talking about a coach of an NBA franchise who's won a championship.
Yeah. It has
and
so
my
much, yeah.
personal opinion on this podcast.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, it's to me, it's tantalizing. Like, I would like to see it, because DeLon is such a good defender. Mm-hmm. You know, that was what they touted him as, like, he's this great defender. And then if you can start him with Hardaway, you get that defense, you get the offense. Like, to me, I almost think, and we're going to talk about this, like, what the Mavs maybe are missing right now. One of the things they're missing is that two guard that can score and make plays, but also play really good defense. And Hardaway is not that, even though he's gotten better, but he's not quite that. And so to me, it's like, if you could have Luka, DeLon, and Hardaway, to me, that's a perfect blend.
Are you talking about permanently or just while Porzingis is out?
I don't know if it's permanent. I'm just saying I would like to see it.
Yeah.
I would like to try it, because I think it's such a good blend of offense, defense, playmaking, shooting. I mean, DeLon can also make plays. We see that off the bench. Now, it's against the bench guys. I get that. So maybe he couldn't do it against starters. But, you know, you still have Hardaway. Like, to me, I would like to see more of that. And I don't know if one game was enough.
No, it wasn't. So I'm going to predict.
Okay.
Predict. DeLon is starting tomorrow instead of JJ. Oh. I think the starting lineup will be Luka, DeLon, Hardaway, Dorian, and Capowell.
Okay.
Just because I think the way the Chicago game ended with DeLon and Luka, and DeLon was bringing the ball down the court a lot there at the end to help alleviate some of the playmaking. Yeah, the pressure. Yeah. And I think they did a good job. And so I think that personally, I think it'll be... And the Mavs defense just needs an upgrade. Especially while Porzingis is out. We're getting killed in the paint. A lot of that is allowing players to even get to the paint. And JJ is just not going to stop anybody. If he's not getting that push off where he's mastered that, then he's not really there.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, you know, Carlisle has so much experience, data in front of him. I get that.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
No, it's like, I'm just saying, like, when I think about it and I just, you know, think about what they need and how they play, I'd like to see it. I feel like it would work, but I don't know.
Look,
maybe it wouldn't.
I'm not asking for Carlisle to be fired. I know people are going to say that. All I'm saying is that Carlisle sometimes can be very frustrating when it comes to players that play and players that don't, and when they play and who they play with. I get it. He's got all the data in front of him, but sometimes it's like it just makes sense mentally to play these guys with this guy.
But maybe it doesn't. Maybe he's got the data.
I don't know. I mean,
it doesn't work.
Then make it work. I mean, you're starting Justin Jackson and J.J. Barea. I get it due to injuries, but...
I feel like Justin Jackson, his sole job is to go out there and hit floaters. And I swear, he doesn't miss a single one.
It was to make threes, and for some reason that disappeared.
But I don't think I've ever seen Justin Jackson miss a floater.
You have.
Okay. Well, that settles that. Okay. Anyway, so that's our new segment, Blurred Lines.
I forgot. Yeah, it was a bit easy.
Yeah.
So we might have to go further back than a week.
Yeah.
Maybe do the previous month's games.
Or maybe you can get a new hobby. And some friends. Huh? Anyways.
I feel like that was a necessary shot.
Okay. Let's move on. So we alluded to this earlier. The problems that the Mavericks have in the clutch. I want to get to this in sort of a roundabout way. We talk a lot about, as fans, we're always talking about trades and which free agent could they get, because, you know, we always want to get better and it's fun to think about how could we improve. So I started looking at the numbers to see where do they really need to improve. And we all know their defense. I think they're currently maybe 15th in defensive rating. They have the greatest offense of all time. So I was like, that's fine. They obviously have no problem there. But defensively, they have some deficiencies. And really, like, where does that show? So a couple of things that I found: their transition defense could use some help. Yeah, they're currently 30th. That's last. They're in last place in the league in opponent fast break points. So that's one obvious area where they could improve. But really, when you look at their shot defense, they're pretty good at guarding the three-point line. One thing I noticed is they really struggle with guarding the mid-range area. So opponent field goal percentage in the mid-range area, the Mavs are 17th in the league. Mm-hmm. And then opponent field goal difference, so whenever the Mavs are guarding them, how much does their shooting percentage go down? On shots within 10 feet, they're 11th in the league. Two-pointers in general, they're 14th in the league. So definitely some room for improvement there. And then when I looked at shots, like how closely they're guarded, how many open shots do opponents get, how many shots are taken where they're tightly defended, these numbers were pretty surprising. So the percent of shots that opponents take where they're wide open, meaning there's nobody within 6 feet, the Mavs are 20th in the league. 22% of opponent shots are wide open, which is, I mean,
20th in the league. Yeah. That's really bad. Bottom
now,
half of the league.
Open shots, meaning there's no one within 4 to 6 feet, they're 22nd in the league. Almost 30% of opponent shots are open. So combined, that's 52%. 52% of opponent shots are open or wide open. So when you look at, you know, their defensive numbers, opponent field goal percentage, like, this is why, because so many of those shots are
just wide open.
Are open. Yeah, or wide open. And you know, a lot of those are in the mid-range. And we see that when we're watching the games, especially if you're playing a team that is very good in the mid-range, like you were talking about the Spurs, DeMar DeRozan just torched them. Granted, DeRozan probably torches a lot of people or a lot of teams, but they really struggle with that. And, you know, I'm not in their mind, so it's possible that they've, like, consciously conceded this. They've decided, you know what, we don't want to give up threes, and so their three-point defense is pretty good. And their points in the paint, like, they're pretty good at that. They're opponent field goal percentage in the restricted area, they're 9th in the league at that. So it's possible that they've decided, we're not giving up threes, we're going to guard the paint. In the mid-range, we're willing to give that up. But the fact is, they're really bad.
I mean, I would be curious to see, because one of the stats that's kind of dying with the new advanced analytics is field goal percentage. It's just
a lot about effective.
Yeah,
and
it's
true
kind
shooting.
Of plummeting.
Yeah.
So I would be curious to see what the opponent's points per possession are in the mid range, or the three, or in the paint.
Yeah.
Because let's say, yes, the field goal percentage is really bad. They're allowing teams to shoot a high percentage in the mid range, but is the points per possession really high? Is it really hurting them compared to a three or a shot in the paint? And I think that might be why. Sometimes when they come off a screen, like Chris Paul, for example, wide open.
Yeah.
Just wide open.
Every time.
And I feel like that's one guy, you know, that's his bread and butter is right there at the elbow. But they kind of sag off. They don't want a guy coming all the way into the paint.
Yeah.
And they would rather them shoot the mid-range shot. And unfortunately, against the Thunder, it came back to bite them. But that's my only thing. Like, we look at field goal percentage, but the Mavs do a lot of points per possession, and I wonder if that goes into why they decide to allow a mid-range.
Yeah,
exactly.
Well, and that's what I was thinking. I was like, you know, when I see this as a fan, I'm like, man, that's
this
terrible. You guys need to fix that. But they may have decided, you know what, a mid-range two-pointer, we're willing to give that up because, you know, we've talked about the math before. You would have to shoot 50% and you still wouldn't get as many points per possession as if you shot 35% on three-pointers. So it's possible they're willing to give it up. I just don't know that.
Yeah, I think the biggest problem with their defense, and obviously, still, go ahead.
One more thing. Just even if you're willing to give it up, you don't want 52% of your opponent's shots to be open, even if they are two-pointers. Yes, and to be 28th in the league, 22nd in the league, 20th in the league.
Yeah, that's not good numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I would say the Mavericks definitely can improve defensively, but I think the biggest improvement is going to be your fast break. Because probably a lot of your wide-open looks are fast break. And if they're allowing a lot of fast break threes or layups or jumpers because they're just not getting back, then the percentage of wide open shots is going to be higher.
Yeah.
So I think really where they need to improve on their defensive end is the fast break. It's funny because Carlisle always talks about offensive rebounds. He's not a big fan of offensive rebounds. Coincidentally, the Mavs are actually a really good offensive rebounding team.
Yeah.
But the reason he doesn't like offensive rebounding is because it makes you susceptible. Yeah, we're going to edit that.
No,
susceptible
I'm leaving that in.
To, I couldn't get it out, to fast break points.
Yeah.
And the Mavs are a good offensive rebounding team, and they're bad at transition defense. So I wonder what kind of adjustment he'll make there. But I think really the biggest change that they can make is their fast break.
Yeah.
Defense.
So, like, because I started, you know, really what got me started there was how much we harp on Dwight Powell's defensive deficiencies. And so.
Not just defensive.
Well, but defensive. Well, and, yes, and rebounding,
yes,
too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so I was listening to the Hoop Collective podcast, and they were talking about, you know, Andre Drummond and those, and Kevin Love and those trade rumors. And they said, you know, a lot of teams nowadays, they just don't care to have a dominant, you know, defensive big man like Andre Drummond. He said a lot of teams see the big man, like the four position, as just a mercenary. Like
the
a guy.
The four or the five.
Well, I guess either the four or the five, yeah. As just a guy that can, you know, they can pay him 10 to 15 million. He can go out and, you know, probably maybe spread the floor,
do what they
switch
need to
on
do.
Yeah, yeah, it's just, it's not a priority the way that it used to be, even, you know, 5 or 10 years ago. And so I thought, you know, maybe the Mavs are kind of at the forefront of that, and we're dealing as fans with this shift in mentality where, yeah, like maybe the Mavs love everything Dwight Powell gives them and they don't care about his deficiencies because they just really don't care about that position. And not that they don't care about that position, but
they're not going to invest a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah, because they have Porzingis, who is a floor spacer and can play defense. They have Luka, who's a playmaker. And they just, the four to them is not what it used to be. And maybe
the five.
Not, or yeah, 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 sorry. And not, you know, the picture that we have either. So anyway, that's where I got to, like, okay, I can accept that, but is it actually hurting the Mavs, his deficiencies? And so, yeah, defense, they can improve. And I mean, you know, the field goal percentage in the restricted area and in the paint, you know, they're 10th, they're
really,
9th. There's but, room for improvement, but really it's the mid-range.
Yeah, and honestly, the paint is protected by Porzingis.
Yeah.
He plays the five on defense.
Yeah.
He is the anchor back there.
And he
there.
Does a good job of it. And these numbers reflect the time that he's been out.
Yeah, and that so, 72 points the Chicago
yeah,
Bulls
exactly,
put up is
yeah.
part of that. So,
that, you know, I was like, okay, I think maybe, and I think I said this a few episodes ago, like, maybe Dwight Powell doesn't bring these things that I want, and maybe that's okay because there's more than one way to win a championship. You know, yeah, you could have a guy that is the picture that we're thinking of, or you could have a guy like Dwight Powell, and it's...
Yeah, and I don't want to get into a whole
no.
Dwight
it's just,
Powell
yeah.
thing. Yeah.
So anyway, that was my thought process, but that doesn't mean there aren't areas they can improve, you know, that... the defensive deficiencies that we talked about with the open shots, the mid-range, obviously there's room to improve there. And maybe that comes with, you know, that big man position. Maybe that's getting a guard that can make plays and play lockdown defense. Maybe Tim Hardaway Jr. is on his way to becoming that. But that's an area where they can improve. The second area that everyone has talked about is their clutch time performance. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, Josh Bow from Mavs Moneyball wrote an article about this. I think it was just published today too. And so it's like, everybody is talking about their struggles in the clutch. And if you look at the numbers, like it's not imagined. Like, it's for real.
It's one of the worst clubs, yeah.
So I looked at, basically everything is just terrible. Their offensive rating in the clutch, they're 28th in the league. Their defensive rating, they're 17th in the league. Their rebound percentage, they're 24th in the league, which we've seen. They've missed out on crucial rebounds that have cost them games. Their turnover percentage, 14th. Their effective field goal percentage, 28th. Their opponent effective field goal percentage, they're 14th. Opponent free throw attempt rate, they're 17th. I mean, these are just terrible. Across the board, they're just horrible in the clutch.
So their defensive numbers are really about the same overall. Like 14th or 17th in the
defensive
clutch.
Defensive rating.
Yeah. And overall like I think they're 15th. Yeah. So that hasn't really changed. What's killing them is offensively, they're just atrocious. And then when they need a play, they can't make that play.
Yeah.
I know three times this year I can think of on the top of my head that they needed a rebound and they just didn't get the rebound. Twice on free throws. Yeah. Free throws by the other team, and they didn't get the rebound.
Or times when they needed a stop and they couldn't get this. That happened against the Hornets. It happened against the Lakers.
I mean, they've gotten stops from
but
time
not
to time.
Like that one stop you need.
And then some,
or they don't get the rebound.
That's my my problem. Sometimes they get the stop they need, and then they don't get the rebound, and then the team scores, and it's like, oh, it's over at that point. It's a crushing three by the opposing team.
But like you said, their offense is really where they struggle because it's like, you know, without Luka. Those few games without Luka, I guess you can kind of take that out of it, but that's sort of like a microcosm of what's going on. Is like no one else can really make a play in the clutch outside of Luka, and even he has struggled. Josh Bow brought out some Luka's stats in the clutch. So last year when he was just amazing in these moments, he shot almost 45% overall. This year he's shooting 36%. On his three-pointers last year, he shot 30%. This year he's shooting less than 22%. And even his free throw percentage has gone down. And like, it's obviously we're not going to be attacking Luka here, but that's, you know, the struggling in the clutch is a symptom of Luka struggling in the clutch.
Yeah, I think obviously he's got to be better. I think he will.
Yeah.
He's just too good of a player not to be better. And I think just some of these games, the shot just didn't fall for him.
Yeah.
And there's other circumstances involved that prevented him from getting the shot to go when he needed it.
And I think sometimes maybe he could get a better shot.
That's possible.
Yeah, he probably sees that and will grow.
He's also had moments where, and I can think of a couple, where the last 2-minute report.
True.
He's had several of those. Yeah. The Kings, the Hornets, where he drove it.
Should have been a foul.
And they should have called a foul. And if they call the foul, he gets the free throws. That percentage goes up because it doesn't count as a shot attempt.
And they win the game.
Yeah. And they possibly win the game. So that, I think, has gone against them.
Yeah, that's their free throw attempt rate. They're 8th in the league in the clutch. So, I mean, I guess that's
not bad,
terrible.
But we have seen missed calls. We've had a lot of last 2-minute reports that have affected. Now, regardless of those. The officiating, the numbers are terrible in the clutch. So you have to be better in order to prevent it from even getting to that point.
So, okay, if we think about, we talked about, you know, their other defensive problems, how they could improve. Struggling in the clutch, how do you improve? How do you think they can improve from that?
Well, I don't think the Mavs are going to make any moves. I don't think they're going to do any trades unless it's for a no-brainer where Washington's like, hey, you can have Bradley Beal because he wants to come there and just give us Courtney Lee and we'll call it a day. You know, obviously, unless they get something like that, I think this is their team. And I kind of like it. And this has all come to me as we've been doing the podcast. Mm-hmm. I kind of like riding with it. And the one reason why is because none of the players on the starting lineup have ever been on a winning team. They've never had a winning record.
DeLon Wright.
He's not a starter.
He doesn't start. You're right.
Tim Hardaway Jr., all bad teams. Porzingis, all bad teams. Now, they were, I think, 500 yeah. whenever he was good the 2 years ago. Powell's been here.
Dorian Finney-Smith.
Dorian Finney-Smith's been here, and Luka has been here. Of course, it's only been 1 year. And yes, I know he's won in Europe, but we're yeah. talking about in the NBA.
Yeah. Well, and it's like, he knows how to win, but he's one guy.
Yeah.
The rest of the team.
And he's still going to have to learn how to do it in the NBA.
True.
So, to me, this is the first time they've experienced this winning kind of mentality. I think they need to learn how to close out games, how to have that killer instinct.
How to execute.
How to execute. I think they need to learn that. So I think you just ride with it and use it as a teaching year. I don't think they were expecting to be this good anyways. So you might as well as just use it as experience. Get to the playoffs. Put up a hard fight. Maybe you win a series. Yeah. But ride this team. Let them learn how to close out games together.
Yeah.
And then you see what kind of changes you need to make.
Yeah. You talked about earlier, they're a young team.
Very and so young, yeah.
If you're going to think about what areas would a young team struggle in?
In the clutch.
The clutch would yeah. be just, that's a classic. That's automatic times when they're going to struggle. And like, yeah, Luka has won and mm-hmm. he plays pretty well in the clutch, even if he's
struggling
now. At
least he did
now.
Last year, yeah.
Yeah, Kristaps oversee, but you know, not in his entire NBA career. Yeah. But yeah, Dwight Powell, Dorian Finney-Smith, these guys, they've never been in these situations. And so it's execution. They yeah. just have to learn how
you
to do
You have to learn
that.
How to do it. Yeah. And that's part of becoming a winning team, a dominant team.
Yeah.
The good thing is there's nowhere other direction to go up, going yeah. but up because yeah. it's literally rock
one of
bottom.
The worst in the
yeah.
league.
Yeah. You can't get any worse in the way you are. Yeah. So at least it should theoretically start going up and you start winning some of these games as Carlisle, you know, shows them things to do and all that. But it's little things like rebounding,
yeah,
you know, that has killed them. Yes, you could bring in a better player, but maybe that player hurts you in other areas. I don't know. I'm, yeah. you know, I'm not a
well,
coach, but
I've noticed handling that pressure, like when the defensive pressure picks up. Mm-hmm. We talked about this after the Raptors game, and I know Luka was out, but like I said, that's just an example of the struggle they have. Is like in that game, every player was like, yeah. What they caught the ball and just stood there.
They choked,
and it was yeah. like, dude. Move, like keep playing the way you don't stop. And
yeah.
so it was like situations like that. You can see they kind of just,
they
sometimes
don't
kind
really
of freeze
know.
Up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They panicked. They were on the road in a hostile, that crowd is nuts yeah. in Toronto. They just blew a 30-point lead or they yeah. were blowing a 30-point lead yeah. and they panicked. And those are the kind of moments that help galvanize a young team, especially if they're winning overall. Mm-hmm. So to me, you let Carlisle figure it out. And you let them learn how to win games.
You know who has been surprisingly clutch this year? Two players, actually.
Dorian and Kleba.
Yes.
Yeah.
Martin.
Yeah.
You read my mind.
I watch too much basketball.
Possibly that, too. Or you read my mind.
So I will. Okay. I'll let you get into your point with okay. Dorian and Maxi. But there was okay. a play against the Hornets that I thought was huge. And it showed a little bit of what Maxi can bring. And I think what he will bring in the playoffs.
Okay.
So the play was the Mavericks went up by 14.
Okay.
And the Hornets immediately cut it to 10. And we were like, oh my God, here
Not
we
again.
Go again.
Yeah.
Carlisle calls a timeout. So they come and run a play. It's a pick and pop, pick and roll with Maxi and Luka. So as they were doing in the late in the game, the Hornets were, they were trapping Luka off the pick and roll. Luka passes it over to Kleba, and Kleba, no hesitation, the yeah. quickest I've seen him grab that ball and shoot it and yeah. swished it.
Contested too.
And the way he just got it and shot it was like, not today. I mean, seriously, like yeah. it was that kind of confidence.
Yeah.
Like, we're not doing this. Not this game. He caught it, shot it, swished it. He was putting an yeah. end to any possible comeback. I think Maxi's going to be one of the most valuable guys for this team.
Yeah, he hits big shots. Mm-hmm. He's reliable. And Dorian Finney-Smith,
he's
too.
He's hit some big ones like the Lakers game yeah. early on in the season.
Well, in these past few games, too, against the Bulls and even the Hornets. And
yeah.
He just, and even in the Raptors game, whenever like nobody else would move, he hit some big shots.
Yeah.
And now, it didn't work because nobody else did anything. But he has hit some really big three-pointers. And I'm super impressed with that. And then also, yeah, Maxi. They hit big shots. And it's so you're so proud to, well, not that I did anything for it, but it's so cool to see them grow into that.
Well, we've talked about big time players. Big time players aren't always the guys that put up the big stats.
Yeah.
They're guys who make shots when you need them to make them. And you need a lot of those guys in order to win in the playoffs. 2011 was a perfect example. Guys, you know, the entire roster would have a game where they made big shots. Obviously, Dirk was killing them in the fourth quarter, but they had guys step up.
Or just making those that one big shot.
Exactly.
You know.
Yeah, and I think you need a lot of that, and I think you're finding that you possibly have that with Dorian and Maxie.
Yeah. So anyways, the clutch is probably the area where they can improve the most. Yeah. And like you said, it just comes with experience. And then their defense in the mid-range,
I'm not sure if they even I think they need to just focus on the transition.
Okay.
Yeah, the transition defense, because, you know, the mid-range, even if they gave up four, the team went 5 for 5 in the mid-range.
Yeah.
It's 10 points. They're not going to, teams just don't shoot a lot of them.
It is frustrating sometimes to see their transition defense. It's like on fast breaks after, it could be a turnover, it could be after a make, it could be after a miss. It's like so many times, it's just like, guys, get back.
A lot of
back.
Times, like it, in Chicago, it was, and even the Hornets, it was after makes.
Yeah.
And the ball handler, nobody stops him.
He would go the length of the floor for a layup.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times, too, is we're getting frustrated we're not getting calls.
Yeah.
And we're not getting back. And rightly so, we're getting fouled, but we're getting killed double time now because we're not getting the call and we're not getting back.
Yeah. But yeah, that's all I've got. So far, it's been a fun year. All-Star break's coming up. Luca will
he's gonna be a starter.
Yeah, he's gonna be there. And I'm excited for that. So anyways, that's it for the show. Thank you guys so much for listening. Remember to follow us on Twitter. I'm @_CityMyers. Martin is @MartinLMyers. The show is @DallasHoopsCast. You can listen to new episodes on DallasHoopsCast.com. Anything else you'd like to add, Martin?
Nope.
You don't want to say thank you for listening?
Nope.
Okay. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.